Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is a straight up lie. You look at the Helena IR, you look at their headline. And of course, you know, the liberal Lee newspapers, I mean, you see biased coverage all the time from the liberal Lee newspapers. In the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we had some great highlights of Senator Tim Sheehy's remarks to the Montana legislature yesterday. And the Missoulian, which is the liberal Lee newspaper of Missoula, They did this attempted hit piece on Tim Sheehy, and they basically tried to suggest that, oh, Tim Sheehy's too afraid to open up an office in Missoula. And what it comes down to is because he booted John Tester out of office, and because he's now the senator in that seat, He could just open up offices in the same locations, in the same buildings that John Tester had offices. But the John Tester office in Missoula is in downtown Missoula, not the best location if you're trying to meet with everyday constituents. And it gets vandalized all the time, apparently, in downtown Missoula. And let's be honest, if you've spent any time in Missoula, downtown Missoula is a lot different than the rest of Missoula. You know, you get outside of downtown and you got good, hardworking folks who, you know, have common sense, day-to-day concerns that they want to meet with their senator's office to talk about. But oh, no, the Missoulian, who, by the way, doesn't even have their own building near downtown Missoula anymore because they've lost so much staff over the years because their paper has failed. They want you to think that, oh, he's too afraid to have an office in Missoula. He's going to get an office in Missoula, but probably in a better location that actually better serves his constituents, and probably in a location that isn't getting vandalized all the time so that we, the taxpayers, have to pay to clean it up or fix it all the stinking time. But don't let facts get in the way of your liberal reporting there, Missoulian. But this was the headline that is just a straight up lie. Now, I don't know if Carly Graf just wrote the story or if she wrote the headline, too. It's probably some liberal editor that wrote the headline. Here's their headline. Montana House takes up bill to prohibit regulations on facilities that discourage abortion. No, it doesn't. The bill is designed to prevent what California did. California forced outrageous compelled speech on pro-life pregnancy centers in California, where they forced pro-life pregnancy centers to promote abortion and to promote abortion clinics, an outrageous violation of our constitutional rights and sickening at that, too. This bill protects pro-life pregnancy centers that are helping young women during a time of need so they don't get forced to have to promote these Planned Parenthood abortion mills. It doesn't say you can't do any regulations on these facilities. It says you can't force them to promote abortion. These people are absolutely nuts. And when I say these people, I'm talking about the Democrats who would want to force this type of garbage on a pro-life pregnancy center. And I'm talking about the liberal media that provides cover for them. You people are nuts. Stop lying in your newspapers.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some areas of light snow across the region for today, up to an inch of snow possible yet. High temperature readings otherwise stay from around 1 above in Billings to around 13 in the Bozeman area. For tonight, snow shower chances come to an end. Lows of 5 below in Bozeman to 22 below in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
It's February 18th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Pluto Day, celebrating the discovery of the former planet, which until 2006 was considered one of the nine planets in the solar system. The actual discovery of Pluto happened in February of 1930 by Claude Tombaugh. On this day in 2020, President Donald Trump commutes the 14-year sentence of former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich. He was convicted of corruption. Nearly 7 million people are forced to boil their water in Texas in 2021 when a freak snowstorm pounds the state. In 2006, at the Winter Olympics in Turin, Italy, Shani Davis becomes the first black athlete to win individual gold at the Games, capturing the men's 1,000-meter speed skating race. The Ukrainian Revolution in 2014 begins as protesters, riot police, and unknown shooters take part in violent events in the capital city. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
All right, here is the bottom line up front. For the average Montana family, your tax bill would go up by $2,569. That's if we go off the fiscal cliff. That's if we do not renew the Trump tax cuts. I've got those numbers and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Here's the headline. This is what happens to Montana if we go off the fiscal cliff. The numbers, the explanation, and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Casey and Bozeman sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. In the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I was playing audio of Senator Tim Sheehy's remarks to the legislature, and he was talking about all the fraud, waste, and abuse in a whole host of categories, including Social Security, the illegal aliens that are stealing Social Security benefits. And not only that, but like you've got people that are still listed as being eligible to receive Social Security benefits, even though they're 150 years old. Casey in Bozeman says, hey, Aaron, how about all the Social Security checks going to these people, 150 years old? Quick clarification, Casey, as I understand it, I forget who I was listening to that made this point. Technically, the Social Security Administration will cut off payments for anybody over 115 years old. So they've got a bunch of people in their system that are listed at being 150 years old as still being eligible to receive Social Security benefits. But they cut off the payments at 115 years old. So now they tell us that to make us think that, oh, okay, well, no problem then. But that actually tells us, oh, no, big problem. What that tells us is that, okay, so you've got all these people in your system as being eligible to collect Social Security benefits. Most people don't live till 115. Most people don't live till 100. It's remarkable when somebody lives till 100. It's remarkable when somebody lives till 90. 80, I mean, right, oftentimes. And so what that tells us is that they are not truly finding out if people are actually dead or alive or truly eligible to receive these benefits or not. And so think about all of the fraud, waste, and abuse that is being uncovered across the board. All right, we had that question from Bev in Bozeman. She was wondering what the heck happened on the floor of the Montana State Senate last night. Once again, a handful of Republicans teaming up with the Democrats. I'll get to that story in just a second, but we've got Nancy in Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. Continuing our chat yesterday morning in discussion about USAID, over the weekend I discovered more information, some more facts. You'll never guess who two of the largest beneficiaries of U.S. aid money have been. That is George Soros and Bill Gates. George Soros has used U.S. aid money to buy radio stations in California. He has used these in order to notify illegal aliens of ICE raids. Bill Gates has used U.S. aid funds to push his fake meat agenda around the world. Now, I just want to say this, that I haven't heard any outrage when it comes to coal miners and also our oil field workers losing their jobs. Remember the Keystone Pipeline, 1,500 men and within 24 hours lost their jobs. But I have, it is so enlightening. I am so glad this is happening. All this information is coming out. It is absolutely nauseating, but we Americans have to face the fact that we have been used as a doormat. We've been made fools out of. We have been used, our generosity abused. So it's hard for me to take at times, but we got to face the fact.
Hey, Nancy,
but I just have,
did you see, yeah, real quick, did you see that story? There's a couple of headlines here, KTVQ television, Billings residents rally, not my president. There was like eight of them that had a protest against Trump. And then the Billings Gazette, Billings protesters gather to rally against Trump administration. And it's just like, my goodness, I mean, nobody takes you folks seriously. But Nancy, I will guarantee you, if you and eight of your friends did a protest in support of Trump or something like that, you would not get the attention these folks got yesterday. You would not get the same attention.
Well, take my word for it. Hey, my editorials on President Trump and Joe Biden, how I put him down. I've got this chick here in Roundup. She's a little progressive. She dresses like California style. If she finds me in the IGA or one of our grocery stores, she'll run her cart right in front of mine, and then she'll just glare and stare at me like she's threatening me, or she's trying to get a rise out of me. I hate to tell that little fool, if she hits me on the wrong day, she's gonna get a shopping cart. All right.
She sounds like a happy camper. She sounds like a happy camper. Well. Let me get your take on this one too, Nancy. So you made a great point there about, wow, all these people, you know, protesting now and complaining that, you know, look, we're $36 trillion in debt. So
Yes. They've
got to trim the fat. And sometimes that means, you know, getting rid of fraud, waste, and abuse. But it also means saying, hey, there's some people that might lose their jobs in the federal government just because we have to save money because we're $36 trillion in debt. There was a woman at the protest yesterday who claims that she got fired from the Federal Bureau of Reclamation. And so that's why she was out in the streets protesting. You know, Nancy, I don't, you know, we might feel bad for her, but I don't remember her protesting in the streets for the Keystone Pipeline workers that got kicked to the curb. I didn't see her out in the streets protesting for Colstrip. I didn't see her, you know, in support of the jobs out at the natural gas plant in Laurel. But now that her job was targeted, she's in the streets protesting. What about all these people in the private sector that actually pay the bills for your taxpayer-funded job?
Well, just like John Kerry said when just before he retired, when the Keystone Pipeline oil workers lost their jobs, he said, well, they could just find work somewhere else in the alternative energy system. So there you go. No sympathy? Well, they're not going to get any sympathy from me either. If we want to save the country, we have to sacrifice. And this, we have to, because the ship's sinking fast.
You've sacrificed. Countless numbers of our listeners have sacrificed in the form of higher prices because of the government spending fueled inflation. And we've sacrificed in other ways. But by golly, the moment they have to share in the sacrifice, take to the streets, not my president. Thanks for the call, Nancy.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Creating jobs is hard. Destroying them is easy. Take the case of trade policy and the setting of tariffs. Some claim that higher tariffs help manufacturers at the cost of higher prices to consumers. But the actual experience of the tariffs imposed on steel in the first Trump administration should remind us that businesses are customers too. Contrary to the rhetoric of some advocates, the evidence from 2018 showed that steel tariffs were almost completely passed through to customers in the form of higher prices. Those higher prices were mostly matched by domestic steel companies who cashed in higher profits without gaining market share. But this was only the beginning of the losses. Car manufacturers, appliance makers, and builders of all kinds of durable goods using steel faced higher costs, thinner margins, and reduced sales. The effect was to add about 1,000 jobs in steelmaking industries, but at a cost of more than 75,000 jobs elsewhere. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Elon Musk is under fire again. President Trump's chief budget cutter is close to obtaining access to IRS records that are so secret they contain financial and banking information about every taxpayer, every business, every nonprofit in the country, according to the Washington Post, which obtained a memo about this under pressure from the White House. They want to cut jobs at the IRS, and everybody hates the IRS. I get that. But this memo raises questions of whether you trust Elon Musk or not to be able to access information so sensitive that even the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service doesn't have access to it. Meanwhile, on the personal front, a woman named Ashley St. Clair says that her five-month-old baby is Elon Musk's, and he hasn't responded. She said she was keeping quiet, but that the tabloids were going to spill the story. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
A slight increase in USDA's global wheat production forecast for February is translating to world wheat balance sheet adjustments. The changes started with a 600,000-ton production increase from the previous month, according to Mark Chekanowski, World Ag Outlook Board Chairman.
Global supply is up a bit. Global feed use also raised, mainly reflecting higher feed use in the EU, Ukraine, Thailand, and Kazakhstan. Global wheat exports, we reduced by 3 million tons, and that reflects lower exports out of the EU, lower exports from Russia out of Ukraine. One of the factors driving lower exports is a fairly large cut we made to China's wheat import forecast this month. We lowered that 2.5 million tons.
China's smallest wheat import total in the last 5 years. The result was a 1.3 million ton decrease in world wheat ending stocks from the prior forecast. In other grain news, wheat markets surged this past week as frigid temperatures threatened winter kill in the plains, especially where snow cover is lacking and negative 20-degree weather is set to hit the northern plains. Additionally, Russia's export quota took effect on Saturday, with allowable shipments reportedly just 8.6 million metric tons, over 20 million metric tons lower than last year, adding bullish pressure for U.S. wheat. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is Where Montana Talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I think it was Bev in Bozeman who messaged us last night. I read the message earlier this morning, and then I put the message in the recycling bin. I should have held on to the message so that I could share the question the exact way that Bev asked it. But either way, here you go. Bev was basically wondering, what the heck? Here we go. We've got these turncoat Republicans teaming up, the nine turncoats teaming up with the Democrats yet again. And she wanted somebody to explain just what the heck happened on the floor of the state Senate last night. All right. Now, these are a couple of course, liberal reports here, but nonetheless, I think they do a decent job of explaining what happened last night. First, from the liberal Lee newspapers, a coalition of Democrats and nine Republicans in the Montana Senate exercised the surest sign yet of its control over the chamber Monday night at the Montana legislature, forcing changes to committee assignments and doling out bills, taking the job out of the hands of GOP Senate President Matt Regeer. Tempers raged and then cooled and then boiled over again as the night went on. Okay, let me pause. That's reading from the Lee newspaper's report here. Let me pause there for a second. Why would the Democrats be angry? I mean, they're able to work with these eight or nine Republicans to, you know, at least disrupt the process or manipulate the process. So why would they be yelling and pounding on their desks? I mean, they're not in the majority, yet somehow they get to leverage a majority through these eight or nine Republicans. So why are they banging on their desks? What do they have to be so angry about? I mean, that's an honest question that I have here. Why would Senator Janet Ellis out of Helena, why would she be angry? Was this faux outrage? Is she pretending to be angry when in reality the Democrats are just laughing at the Republicans because they know that they can use a handful of Republicans to undermine the rest of their caucus? One of the points that Congressman Troy Downing made yesterday in his speech, I didn't get a chance to hear his whole speech to the legislature yesterday, but he talked about how good it is to have the House of Representatives back in Washington, D.C., actually working together now. And they've got a Republican Senate. They've got President Trump. And so they're not having these inter-party disputes like they had that bogged down the House of Representatives for the past 2 years. And I'm assuming this was also kind of his way of calling for more unity in the Montana state legislature with the Republican caucus as well. Because, look, I've always been consistent. I didn't like it when eight or nine Republicans in the U.S. House were undermining their Republican caucus. And I don't like it when eight or nine are doing the same right now. regardless of whether they feel they have good intentions behind it or not. All right, back to this story from the Liberal Lee newspapers. Senator Janet Ellis, Democrat out of Helena, yelled and pounded on her desk so hard the sergeant at arms briefly stood over her. One Republican senator sicked a sergeant on Senator Jason Ellsworth for vaping in a side room to the Senate chamber. Senator Ellie Boldman, Democrat out of Missoula. This is actually kind of funny. She's a bit of a character. I've had her on the show before. She was seen walking around with a large bucket of popcorn, sharing it with Democrats and Republicans amid the flurry. The coalition flexed their majority more than 20 times in debate after debate over the objections of Republican, who by raw partisan numbers should have the actual majority over the state Senate. A wrinkle in Democrats' power play for the Senate has been the unforeseen and very public probe into Ellsworth's controversial contract dealings with a longtime business associate. So, yeah, the wrinkle in the Democrats' power play. The wrinkle is the ethics investigation into the guy that they have partnered with to undermine the Republican caucus. All right. Let's see. There's more to it here. The left-leaning Montana Free Press said this: moderates seized control of the Montana Senate during an after-dark floor session Monday in a power flex by 18 minority Democrats and 9 maverick Republicans, signaling their dissatisfaction with the Senate's pace of business. Okay, but again, the reason why the Senate's pace of business isn't at the pace it should be is because since day one and since week one, and apparently still to this day, you've got a handful of Republicans still undermining their leadership. The leadership sets the pace. If you don't like the bills they put on the floor, then vote against the bills they put on the floor. But when you undermine your leadership, you're undermining the very pace at which the work gets done. Anyway, that's my take. What's yours? 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. A couple of great callers on the phone lines: Tom in the Gallatin Valley, Mike in Big Timber, and we got phone lines open for you as well. Back in 60 seconds after this. Phone lines here. Tom in the Gallatin Valley listening to 1450 KMMS. Great to hear from you, Tom. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning. So, yes, every time we turn around, we find more and more fraud and deceit. I went on the Doge website here the other day just to see what I can find. And if you have a minute, I'll give you a few of these amazing things.
Yeah, go for it.
$10 million for Mozambique voluntary medical male circumcision. $9.7 million for University of California, Berkeley, to develop a cohort of Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills. $32 million for the Prague Civil Society Center. $40 million for Gender Equality and Women Empowerment Hub. $29 million to strengthen political landscape in Bangladesh. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia. $20 million for fiscal federalism in Nepal. Now, I don't know what fiscal federalism is, but it's just astonishing that, I mean, money going. I don't think anybody knows who's doing it, where it's originating, but they seem to be finding out where it's going. And this is just one example. And then, of course, like you were talking earlier about the Social Security and all these tens of thousands of people that are 150 years old collecting it, et cetera.
It's just endless, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely – the one that you just said there about better educational outcomes in Asia, we've got American children – with abysmal reading, writing, and arithmetic scores that have been set years behind because of the China virus, COVID-19, and the stupid response to it by the radical left-wing teachers' unions and more. But yet we're wasting taxpayer dollars to help educational outcomes in Asia when we've got horrific educational outcomes in America. I mean, that was just such a shining example right there alone. Tom, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Mike and Big Timber, stand by. Actually, you know what? Mike sometime is actually very quick. Let's sneak Mike in before we get to the break. Mike, we got about 30, 45 seconds. What do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, did you hear the news report just a minute or two ago about Elon Musk, some woman claiming that he's the father of her baby, and the tabloids haven't released it? Can they pull out any more stops on this guy?
Elon Musk has a lot of kids with a lot of ladies. I mean, you know, and so it's like, but yeah, what do they think? Like, oh, this is going to shock America. Okay, let's stop. Let's stop cutting all the fraud, waste, and abuse because Elon Musk likes to get around. I mean, you know, it's like he's not running. He's not running the church. He's trying to trim the fraud, waste, and abuse out of the government. Hold that thought, Mike. We'll come back to you after this. You know,
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines here. Yeah, I knew Mike and Big Timber would have something quick for us, a quick teaser before we went into the hard break there, and then now we can chat more. Thankfully, he's stuck with us on the phone lines. Yeah, so Mike, like, okay, so what? They're trying to go after Elon Musk because he had a baby with a woman. I mean, look, everything going on in our society right now, I think the American people have kind of moved on to the fact that, like, Elon Musk is not the head of our church. He's simply a very successful private sector businessman who was offering to help out our government while we're $36 trillion in debt. Yeah, I mean, this guy used to be on their team, and look at everything they're doing to try to undermine him now.
Well, they always do that, Aaron. They'll turn on their own. That's why Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party, and the way Robert F. Kennedy Jr. railed on the Democrat Party. But I question the authenticity of this, and I don't appreciate Fox News just putting it out there without any kind of confirmation. And the mere fact that it's going to be posted in the tabloids, how come the Washington Post, the New York Times, or nobody else got this particular story?
Well, I think the woman is, I'm not even going to say her name in case I get it wrong, but she went on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and was saying, okay, look, people, this happened. I'm talking, you know, with Elon Musk, et cetera, to, you know, about everything. And she was mad that some tabloid outed the whole thing to begin with, because she's like, look, this is just a private situation and nobody should be commenting on it, basically. And so, yeah, I remember when Elon Musk, when former Democrat Senator Max Baucus did a big economic development summit in Butte. Several years ago, probably 10 years ago or so, and I went to it, and I actually got to ask a question of Elon Musk during the press conference that they had there. And, you know, it was pretty cool at the time even. But it's funny that, like, they loved the fact that Elon Musk was at that economic development summit in Butte because he was a darling of the environmental leftists because of, you know, Tesla and creating the electric vehicle car. But you could kind of get a glimmer into his common sense even back then. Because one of the things we talked about was he basically was saying, look, and of course he knew he was in the mining city of Butte, but he talked about, look, all these people who think that somehow we shouldn't do mining in America, he says, if you want these EVs, you need these rare earth minerals, and we mine them in America way better than they do everywhere else in the world. I mean, so he was kind of bursting their bubble already 10 years ago. But then they finally just pushed him over the edge with their Trump derangement syndrome.
How old is Elon Musk? Do you know, Aaron? Is he as old as the president?
No. He's got it. Let's see. I mean, he everybody may seem old compared to President Trump because President Trump moves at a faster pace than most teenagers. But how old is Elon Musk? Let me ask his AI platform, Grok, G-R-O-K. That's the AI platform on X. He was born on June 28th, 1971. So 53 years old. 53 years old. So 50 is the new 40, though.
Wow. Right. He's a young feller. But I guess my question was...
Not according to Caden, our producer. Caden would be like, 53? Whoa! Because Caden's still in his 20s.
Is that right? And what happened to Travis? Did he move on?
You know, Travis, man, he had an opportunity to go back and spend more time on the family ranch in Forsyth. So that's where he's getting to spend a lot of his time. You can't blame him. You can't blame him, can you, man? I've said it before. If I had a family ranch to go back to in eastern Montana, I'd be there in a heartbeat. I'd try to set up a mobile studio or something so we could still do the show. But, yeah, I'd be popping smoke out of here
in
a heartbeat.
I'm 78, and I'm still having trouble shoveling all this snow. But the question I have is, if this story is true, Aaron, about Elon Musk, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I mean, these people want to lecture us about this. Somebody joked around the other day on X. I shared the tweet at the time. You know, the West Wing at the White House, the Oval Office, hasn't seen this much action since Monica Lewinsky. You know what I mean? And not the Monica Lewinsky kind of action either, like actual action to get our country back on track again. But these pearl clutchers on the left, oh, Elon Musk, oh, he likes the ladies, oh, no. Yeah, again, where were they during the Clinton years? Yeah. And all their people that got caught up in the Me Too movement. Give me a break.
Sure. Well, thanks for taking my call, Aaron, and stay with it.
Hey, you too.
I can't believe you out here.
I can't believe you're 78 years old, running Indy out at the fort there. Yeah, 70 must be the new 40. Holy cow, because you are fit to fight. That's for sure. It's all that snow shoveling you've been doing, I'll bet. Mike and Big Timber, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Stephen Miller, you know, talking about all the fraud, waste, and abuse that's being uncovered. Stephen Miller, you know him mainly for his border policy conversations. He was with President Trump since day one, you know, developing border security strategies, policies, and more. DOGE prepares to audit the IRS. I don't know if that might be this clip right here. I think this may be that clip. Oh, no, the IRS clip is another one. I'll get to that one, too. Here we go. He's talking about just some of the basic anti-fraud measures they're undergoing right now.
Can you give assurances to people who faithfully pay their taxes in this country? The DOGE isn't just going to go randomly sifting through the records and maybe come across the personal private records of a lot of Americans.
I can give absolute 100% assurance. I give you complete and total assurance on that point. We are talking about performing a basic anti-fraud review to ensure that people are not engaging in large-scale theft of federal taxpayer benefits. I mean, for example, we pay billions of dollars a year in child tax credit payments to illegal aliens. Billions with a B. So these are systematic, programmatic reforms that we're talking about here. And as far as protecting the secrecy of tax records, the IRS has been weaponized at the career level against the American people for years now. This has been one of the most invasive arms of the federal government, engaging in capricious and politically based audits, leaking taxpayer information for political reasons. We are restoring the neutrality. We are restoring ethics. We are restoring security controls at IRS. In fact, one of the big projects that DOGE is going to be working on is upgrading IT systems and software so that our taxpayer information cannot be stolen by criminals or foreign governments.
All right, there. That was part of what Stephen Miller had to say. Here's another clip. This was Stephen Miller. Look, if you think USAID was bad, wait till you see what is happening at the IRS. I think this is the one that's even more particularly focused on the IRS. Oh, yeah, here we go. This is Bahizi Tweets, George, at Bahizi Tweets, if I pronounced it right here. He says this, holy moly. Well, holy Miller. I'm sure he's not holy either. Holy moly. None of us are. Holy moly. Stephen Miller just confirmed that foreign fraud rings have been using fake Social Security numbers and identities to steal billions of taxpayer benefits through the IRS. George at Bahizi Tweets says, people thought USAID was bad. Wait until they see what's been happening at the IRS. Here you go, Stephen Miller.
What are the plans to do so if those records are obtained?
Well, as we know, there's a massive amount of fraud in this country. You have, for example, foreign fraud rings. These are foreign nationals who come into the United States. They use fake Social Security numbers. They use fake identities to steal billions in taxpayer benefits. There's no way to know until DOGE gains full access exactly how much money we're talking about. But over a 10-year normal budget window, you could be talking about saving over $1 trillion by clamping down on massive fraud in our tax and entitlement systems, including, again, those carried out by organized fraud and theft rings. A very important point in all this is to understand that DOGE are subordinate staffers of the federal government. They are political appointees, just like me, just like everyone else in the White House, that serve and answer to the president. So we're not talking about an outside private entity. We're talking about the existing federal staff of the federal government performing their statutory and constitutional duty.
All right, there you go. Yeah, great sound bites there from Stephen Miller, who's a, of course, top staffer to President Donald J. Trump. Let's see, what have we not gotten to yet that we want to sneak on before John Jackson, the Joker from X, joins us on the show? Well, speaking of illegal aliens, stealing Social Security money, getting all these tax benefits and more, how happy is Tom Homan with the results so far to track down and detain and deport these criminal illegal aliens? We'll get to that right after this.
The next time you fly, upgrade your comfort to Emirates Premium Economy. Sink into soft leather seats with raised legrests and adjustable headrests. Elevate your dinner plans with delicious regional dining, all served with complimentary premium drinks. Enjoy endless entertainment with up to 6,500 channels, including live sports. There's no other premium economy like it. Fly Emirates. Fly better.
Fox News commentary.
The COVID era was the dumbest in modern history, and while there's more to be done, President Trump is taking steps to right the wrongs. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will Ting Show.
Ideological goals like climate change, green initiatives, because attention and resources are a finite game, they are diverted. It is pulled away from the priorities that matter to citizens directly. When you pay your taxes, there are certain things that you have a right to expect. Police protection, emergency response. Anything given to misplaced priorities ends up something that can hurt citizens when they need their government.
Streaming live 12 p.m. Eastern weekdays on FoxNews.com and the Fox News YouTube channel.
We'd all like to block out the COVID era because it was so stupid and pointless, but because its impacts are still lurking and lingering, we can't just let it go. That's why I was happy to see President Trump sign an executive order to pull federal funding from schools and education agencies that require COVID-19 vaccines. While there are no K-12 schools that still require the COVID vax, there are 15 colleges and universities that still do. While some may think this EO is needless or pointless, it's not, because it sends a very strong message that President Trump will never allow this country to go down that stupid path again. Trump knows he made some mistakes in empowering the wrong people like Fauci during COVID, but he's cleaning it up. So thank you, President Trump, for doing your part to give us the COVID reckoning that we certainly deserve. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some areas of light snow across the region for today, up to an inch of snow possible yet. High temperature readings otherwise stay from around 1 above in Billings to around 13 in the Bozeman area. For tonight, snow shower chances come to an end. Lows of 5 below in Bozeman to 22 below in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Watch out!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's
n.com for application details. Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative. The energy to thrive.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. The Joker showed up early. You want to put that microphone on early? Yeah, why not? What the heck? Why not, John? Good to see you. You want to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour, too, today? Yep, good. All right. Thumbs up all around. You had a great analogy. You were listening in. Mike and Big Timber. We had Tom in the Gallatin Valley calling in, talking about Elon Musk and Doge. And then I think I played a soundbite where the Democrats are saying, oh, they're just trying to steal our information. And it's like, I don't remember you guys complaining when China stole my personal information, because any of us who had a security clearance through the federal government had all of our information compromised to the communist Chinese when Barack Hussein Obama was president. But you guys didn't, you know, clutch your pearls back then. But now he's going to steal our information, John.
And you hear this being repeated all over, even over Fox News and some of Fox News' commentators, acting like Elon is in there going, gosh, could he steal data? Listen, you know what this is? This is me. This is law enforcement when they've pulled over some dirtbag dope dealer, and now the cop is going through the dirtbag dope dealer stuff looking for the dope, and the dope dealer's back there going, wait, wait, you're going to steal my stuff, man. You got to steal my stuff. I mean, give me a break. You people are the thieves, and the cop is now going through your stuff. Sit down and be quiet.
Yeah, that's what's happening. That is the perfect analogy. These people are stealing from we the people, stealing from us the taxpayers. They've been doing it for decades in Washington, D.C. And when we say these people, it's not just the Democrats. It's some of these corrupt rhino Republicans back there as well, too, who are in on this whole scam. Conservative commentator Bill Kristol. Somehow he was getting millions of dollars, too, that never Trumper. Somehow you were getting millions of dollars. Conservative commentator. Right.
You should hear our boy Mighty Human Z go off on this stuff. These accounting rules called Sarbanes-Oxley. Like they've now tracked $4.7 trillion that have gone out of the Treasury. That is untraceable.
I have no idea.
Like Z's always talking about, because he had to comply with this stuff in one of his jobs. He'll tell you you'd be in jail if you were the private sector and they found this in your books. You would go to jail.
Robert in Billings, to all these people whining, and I'm assuming it's to all these people whining and complaining about Elon Musk. He said somebody should make a T-shirt, if they haven't already, that says, I don't really care, Margaret. J.D. Vance. It's a J.D. Vance quote. I don't really care, Margaret.
our girl Marge Brennan. Oh, boy, she's been knocking it out of the park lately, haven't you? Did you see her? You're talking about Margaret Brennan? Marge?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is she the CBS gal now?
Yeah. Yeah. Disgrace the Nation. Did you see her the other day telling us that the Nazis weaponized free speech, and that's how they were able to conduct the Holocaust?
Oh, that was outrageous. These people are nuts. The shut up and wear your mask crowd. The people who never stood up in defense of our Jewish friends when this horrific anti-Semitism was going on. But no, free speech caused the Holocaust. You people are nuts. It's crazy. All right, well, John's going to be with us here for the next 2 hours. You're going to want to stay tuned. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone if you haven't yet. And then when you get to work, you can put a little earbud in, and you don't have to hear all the annoying tap, tap, tap from your neighbor at the desk next to you anyway. Here's the deal. Look, you like having your own private space, right? You can listen to what you want to listen to, music, talk, whatever. Well, what about transforming your private space in your own private bathroom? Let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. Right now, you can transform your space up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. And, hey, spring is right around the corner for resale purposes. It's really good to have a nice bathroom. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. financing you can handle. No money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Let me repeat, get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836 right now. Your home improvement company, or you can go to YHIC.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Creating jobs is hard. Destroying them is easy. Take the case of trade policy and the setting of tariffs. Some claim that higher tariffs help manufacturers at the cost of higher prices to consumers. But the actual experience of the tariffs imposed on steel in the first Trump administration should remind us that businesses are customers too. Contrary to the rhetoric of some advocates, the evidence from 2018 showed that steel tariffs were almost completely passed through to customers in the form of higher prices. Those higher prices were mostly matched by domestic steel companies who cashed in higher profits without gaining market share. But this was only the beginning of the losses. Car manufacturers, appliance makers, and builders of all kinds of durable goods using steel faced higher costs, thinner margins, and reduced sales. The effect was to add about 1,000 jobs in steelmaking industries, but at a cost of more than 75,000 jobs elsewhere. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.